Welcome to the Health, Safety, and Environment podcast. In today's episode, we'll talk about confined space entry permit, what are the hazards in a confined space, what are the general requirements for access and egress, the precautions with hazardous atmospheres and the responsibilities of the entry supervisor, attendants, and workers. What do you already know about maintaining safety in a confined space? Let's share your comments in the link below, and do not forget to subscribe to stay in tune. So what is a confined space? A confined space is any enclosed area which contains or could contain one or more exceptional hazards. Enclosed area is any enclosure not designed for continuous employee occupancy, large enough and so configured that an employee can bodily enter and perform work inside. Exceptional hazards are defined as follows: hazardous atmosphere, engulfment, entrapping configurations, limited or restricted means of entry and exit, and any other recognized safety or health-related hazards such as hazardous energy, release, or extreme temperatures. Examples of confined space are storage tanks, storage bins, process vessels, silos, ventilation and exhaust ducts, piping, pits, excavations, trenches, coal boxes, furnaces, and reformers. So what is a hazardous atmosphere? Any atmosphere that may expose employees to immediately dangerous to life or health air concentration values and presenting a risk of death, incapacitation, impairment of ability to self-rescue, injury or acute illness from one or more of the following causes, one of them, atmospheric oxygen concentration below 19.5% or above 23%, or flammable gas, vapor or mist in excess of 10% of lower explosive limit, or combustible dust at a concentration that meets or exceeds its lower explosive limit, or when the atmospheric concentration in excess of any substance permissible exposure limit as defined in your local or international regulation and recognized standard, which is capable of causing death, incapacitation, impairment, or ability to self-rescue, or even an injury or acute illness due to the health effect, and any other atmospheric condition that is immediately dangerous to life or health. In the case of the excavations, these ones are considered to have a potential for a hazardous atmosphere if they are deeper than 1.2 meters or 4 feet. Now, what is engulfment? Engulfment is any surrounding and effective capture of a person by liquid or finely divided granulated solid that can be aspirated to cause death by filling or plugging the respiratory system, or that can exert enough force on the body to cause death by strangulation, constriction, or crushing. And on the other hand, we have the electrical hazards. The electrical hazards must be defined as exceptional hazards only when there is a conductive environment combined with the use of electrical equipment and tools within a limited free moving space, so that a person can easily get in large area contact with conductible material. In case the person gets in contact with large area of conducting material, this will lead to a decrease of resistance followed by an increase of amperage. Exceptional electrical hazards can occur with equipment or installations that are energized under normal operating conditions, and electrical equipment and tools used in conductive surrounding as well. We also have the entrapping conditions, which is any confined space configuration that presents an internal configurations such that an entrant can be trapped or asphyxiated by inwardly covering walls or by a floor that slopes downward and tapers to a smaller cross-section or extremely confined room dimensions. Common examples include funnel or hopper or narrow piping and cyclones. Also, we have the criteria for unlimited or restricted means of entry and exit. When the confined space is showing characteristics hindering at least one of the following criteria, like the ability of entrant to access, escape, and rescue on its own, or with additional support from its confined spaces in emergency situations, or the ability of entrant to enter and exit confined space without unusual effort under normal working conditions, or the ability of an entrant to get equipment in and out of the confined space without difficulties. Other hazards in confined space are physical or mechanical hazards like unguarded machine parts, live electrical parts or machines, vibration. Environmental hazards are considered like heat or cold stress, slip, trip and fall, inadequate lighting or constraining dimensions or configuration, dropped objects, presence of animals or insects, and health hazards like presence of radiation sources, noise and vibration, or skin contact with hazardous materials, contact with microorganisms, and psychological distress. Before entering a confined space, a job safety analysis must be carried out considering the hazards that we just talked about and the risk of the respective confined space. The job safety analysis is a precondition for issuing the work permit. When modifications or changes in activities or other physical or environmental conditions of an existing confined space are made and that can be adversely affect work or hazards must be reevaluated, and a work permit must be applied once the job safety analysis has been prepared. Adequate access to and egress from all confined spaces must be provided. This can include ladders, scaffolding, and before removing access devices like manhole covers, all hazardous conditions must be eliminated so confined space can be opened safely. Ensure appropriate safety precautions like ventilation or PPE are used, and ensure openings are guarded to prevent falls and falling objects into the confined space if necessary. Entry points to a confined space must be defined. In case of available openings that are not defined as entry point, they must be closed or barricaded to prevent unauthorized persons from entry. Appropriate warning sign must be located near all defined entrances into a confined space prior to starting work. The warning signs must remain in place until the work activities are completed. The wording of the warning signs must contain at least the term confined space. This also applies to all pipe openings of 40 centimeters or 16 inches and greater if the respective pipes have to be considered as confined space. For example, when doing welding with the use of inert gases or the use of electrical equipment inside the pipe, signing in or barricading of confined space must be implemented regardless of whether or not personnel will enter the confined space. During times where no activities are going on inside the confined space, during breaks, after end of shift, all entry points must be closed, barricaded, or monitored by a manhole watch to prevent non-authorized entry. In case of a risk of falling objects or materials striking personnel entering a confined space under construction, the relevant entry access points must be protected against these falling materials. Protection devices shall be of sufficient strength, like constructed from a scaffold plank or equivalent so that it's rigid and capable of withstanding falling objects. Depending on the risk related to the construction activities outside of the confined space, access should be prohibited, especially during extensive scaffolding work, and all defined entrances must be barricaded or monitored by dedicated guards or attendants. A breaking rescue plan must be prepared for all confined spaces. For basic rescue or self-rescue, the rescue plan shall be aligned with the emergency response procedure applicable to the site. For other rescue, the rescue plan must include details of the rescue procedures or rescue steps, the means to summon rescue, the rescue team, and the necessary emergency resources or equipment needed. Rescue plan shall only incorporate non-entry rescue, unless it is approved otherwise by the company. To facilitate non-entry rescue, retrieval system or methods shall be used, unless the retrieval equipment increases the overall risk of entry or does not contribute to the rescue of the entrant. Retrieval system shall include a chest or full body harness, a retrieval line attached at the center of the entrant's back near shoulder level above the entrant's head, and a mechanical device or fixed point outside of the permit space where the other end of the retrieval line shall be attached. No one will attempt a rescue from a confined space of unknown air quality without wearing self-contained breathing apparatus. When working with a permit-required confined space, a rescue team must be readily available, whether a trained rescue team from the workforce, reachable during the time of work, or an external rescue team from the local civil defense rescue team. Rescue team must have its own necessary equipment, and the members of the team must be trained to properly use the PPE and the rescue equipment when necessary. An external rescue team must be informed about the hazards they may face when called to perform rescue from a confined space, and the rescue team must be provided with access to all confined spaces from which rescue may be necessary so that the rescue service can develop appropriate rescue plans and practice rescue operations. The rescue team shall practice confined space rescue prior to start of work and at least once every 12 months by means of simulated rescue operations in which they remove dummies, mannequins, or actual persons from the actual confined spaces. A manhole watch must be assigned to the confined space in order to safely monitor the conditions within the confined space and, if practicable, observe the work being carried out. The manhole watch shall wear a special color high visible vest for ease of identification, shall continuously maintain an accurate count of unauthorized entrants in the permit space using the entry logbook, shall stay outside of the confined space near every defined entry point unless otherwise defined in the respective work permit, check if authorized entrants have been trained and approved for confined space entry, shall establish and maintain continuous contact visually, verbally, or whistle, tagline, etc. with entrants, and shall contact rescue team and other emergency services as soon as he or she determines that authorized entrants may need assistance to escape from confined space hazards. Adequate fire protection suitable to the risk involved shall be provided at all hot work locations. Prior to the commencement of any hot work, all combustible materials shall be removed from the affected area. at or near any location where hot work is carried out, a fire extinguisher must be available, and CO2 or other extinguishing agents that displace oxygen shall not be used inside of a confined space. In case of hazardous atmospheres inside a confined space, following actions must be taken in that same ranking. Number 1, removal by purging, for example, or substitution or isolation of hazardous substances. Number 2, reduction of concentration of hazardous substances in the ambient air by natural or mechanical ventilation below the applicable limits. And number 3, the use of personal protective equipment. When purging, prior to entering in confined spaces where hazardous substances can be present, the confined space must be purged by blowing air into the confined space as long as necessary. Additionally, the confined space can be cleaned by washing to remove all forms of contaminants, like rusting particles, and the efficiency of the purging must be verified by testing and monitoring to ensure the concentration of hazardous substances in the confined space are acceptable. After purging, the confined space must be adequately ventilated to ensure a safe atmosphere and temperature has returned in the confined space. Ventilation can be either a natural ventilation or a mechanical ventilation if the natural ventilation is not sufficient. The type and design of mechanical ventilation must be defined depending on the type of hazardous materials, the kind of activities to be performed inside of the confined space, and the climatic conditions of the work to be performed. When a blower must be used for supplying forced ventilation, the blower shall be positioned outside of the confined space in an area with a sufficient oxygen concentration and far enough from any source of contamination like harmful chemicals, gas, vapors, which cannot be filtered by the blower equipment. When a suction ventilation must be used, it is necessary to ensure there are two or more openings for sufficient ventilation. Suction ventilation systems shall never be operated without presence of two or second openings. Areas where welding or gas cutting are present or other areas where gases or fumes are generated may additionally be provided with a local exhaust ventilation system. It is necessary to ensure there are two or more openings for sufficient ventilation. Suction ventilation systems shall never be operated without presence of a second opening. The efficiency of the ventilation must be verified by testing and monitoring to ensure the confined space is safe to be entered. After purging and ventilation and prior to entry confined space with potential to contain hazardous atmosphere, oxygen or other gaseous hazardous substances must be tested and monitored at predetermined intervals as required. The frequency to which testing are conducted must be documented on the confined space entry permit, and results of testing must be documented on the atmospheric testing record. All oxygen and gas testing must be undertaken by an approved gas tester who has been trained in the use of testing equipment and can interpret and record results correctly. To conduct gas testing, since hazardous materials can settle at different levels, some substances are lighter or heavier than air. Each part of the confined space must be tested side to side and top to bottom to ensure all confined space areas are free of contaminants and safe. If required, per job safety analysis or permit to work, some selected persons working inside the confined space can be equipped with direct reading measuring devices. If testing results are meeting the following conditions, then entrance to the confined space is prohibited. And personnel working inside must leave the confined space immediately. When the atmospheric oxygen content below 19.5% or above 23%, when the flammable atmosphere with gas, vapor, or mist in excess of 10% of the lower explosive limit, or when the explosive atmosphere with gas, vapor, mist, or dust at a concentration that meets or exceeds the lower explosive limit, or hazardous atmosphere with hazardous substance concentration that meets or exceeds the permissible exposure limit. These are the thresholds that must be checked in order to ensure a safe working condition for the atmospheric monitoring. All testing equipment and monitoring devices used for confined space monitoring must be regularly maintained, serviced, and calibrated according to applicable legislation and manufacturer's specifications, capable of being directly read, suitable for the type of tests required, of an approved type specification including X-proof, explosion-proof certification for gas measuring devices, and the gas cylinders providing gases must be secured in an upright position outside of the confined space and away from the entry point. The same applies for any hot work activities taking place in the close proximity of the entrance to the confined space, where there may be a possibility of contamination of the confined space. For the use of hazardous substances, all requirements stated on the safety data sheet and the local applicable legislation must be met when hazardous chemicals, fiber materials, and other substances are applied inside of a confined space. Equipment operating near a confined space that has the potential to discharge exhaust fumes into a confined space, like diesel generators or mobile plant, must be moved to a safe distance away from the confined space as well. Lightning levels shall be sufficient for the work to be executed and shall be handheld torches, flashlights, or chemical light stick and or low voltage lightning with 12 volts or less, or 120 volt light if protected by a ground fault circuit interrupter. Transformers must always remain outside of the confined space, and protective guards shall be provided on lights to prevent breakage. Backup lights, like handheld torches, shall always be available to ensure that personnel can safely leave the confined space in the event of electric light failure. All electric handheld tools and equipment shall be battery operated or supplied by low voltage transformer, voltage below 50 volts, or if above 50 volts, then it should be grounded. Transformers must always remain outside of the confined space. Explosion-proof lightning torches, tools, and equipment must be used for areas with potential for explosive atmosphere if the risk of an explosion cannot be reduced to an acceptable level by means of ventilation or similar. For the control of hazardous energies with potential impact on the confined space entry, control of hazardous energy or lockout-takeout procedure must be followed. Additionally, if the internal temperature in a confined space reaches 100 Fahrenheit or above, in order to continue work, additional safety measures must be put in place for the confined space like opening a manway or air movers to reduce the heat. And finally, but not least, the responsibilities for the entry supervisor is to manage personnel working inside of the confined space. This one is responsible for the safe execution of the entry in a confined space with a valid work permit. Also, is responsible for instruction of the respected workforce on the requirements for the confined space and the work permit. On the other hand, the responsibilities for the authorized gas tester is to be responsible for proper gas testing and monitoring inside the confined space, responsible for proper registration of the results of testing and monitoring on the atmospheric test record, and responsible for correct storage of the testing and monitoring equipment, and as well for the maintenance and calibration of the testing and monitoring equipment according to the manufacturer's specifications. And for the manhole watch, this one is responsible for continuously maintaining an accurate count of authorized entrants in the permit space using the entry logbook, stay outside of the confined space near every defined entry point, never enter the confined space unless otherwise defined, and check if authorized entrants have been trained and approved for confined space entry, and establish and maintain continuous contact visually, verbally, or whistle or via tagline with entrants, and contact rescue and other emergency services if needed. Warn unauthorized persons and instruct them not to enter the confined space.